Hi everyone, I'm your host Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net. This week we're looking at Oriental healing called Reiki and how it's different from traditional healing methods, but also the ways it is just the same as many other methods of healing. My guest is Guido Tozaki, who is an experienced Reiki master, and he's employed by the Cambridge Complementary Health Centre, which is part of our National Health Service. Guido mainly treats emotional issues, but these have often led to physical problems like peptic ulcer, hiatus hernia, IBS, tension headache, tinnitus or wry neck. It's a long list of problems that are mainly due to stress or emotional worry. And Reiki is able to reduce stress and anxiety levels, which in turn encourages the body's natural healing to attack the physical problem. But as well as using Reiki to find and cure emotional energy blocks, Guido practices acupressure massage by placing his hands on the patient. This is performed on the patient in a sitting position, with Guido giving gentle hand pressure along the acupuncture meridians, not of course using any needles. When used in conjunction with deep relaxation of Reiki, acupressure massage relieves tight muscles, back ache, asthma, migraine, headaches and digestive problems. And this combination proves to be very effective. That's some background to Guido's method, so let's meet the man himself.
Hello, Guido.
Yes, hi.
Hi. First of all, I have to thank you for coming on my show today and talking to me about Reiki. Is it the traditional Japanese Reiki you normally do, or are you more inclined towards the Western system?
No, I'm inclined more towards Japanese Reiki.
Yeah. Okay. That's something which I don't really know very much about, but I just went on the internet and got a few things. So it is a healing system which the patient sort of lays down. Is that right?
Yes. I mean it's an ancient Japanese healing system which was brought around the 19th century. By a man called Mikao Usui. Initially in Japan, it wasn't really used as a healing system. It was more like a self-healing system. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when it got transferred to the West, it sort of kind of changed it because obviously the modalities changed and the form of therapy changed. And for about 40 years, it was practiced in the Western way. It's only in the last 10 years that we've actually managed to trace back to its original lineage. And there are three forms of Reiki. I mean, there's the first level, which is really a self-healing form of therapy. And then you've got the second level, which is more like a practitioner. And then you've got the third level, which you actually become a master, which is you can teach the Reiki therapy. Yes, you do lie down, or you can be seated in a chair, and then you follow a sequence of hand positions, or you go by intuition, depending on the symptoms of the patient.
Yes, the first degree you're saying then was just a self-hip.
It's basically a self-healing. I mean, obviously, we've got now these modern laws and regulations which now apply to these complementary therapies. So we've kind of broken it down into three. And obviously, nowadays, level one, you just do self-healing, really, for yourself, which is what it really was originally taught. I mean, students really didn't tend to do healing on others. In this particular form of therapy, but obviously as it evolved, it's now gone into different ways of teaching. And of course, now with globalizations, we've now merged with the Indian complementary therapies and Chinese complementary therapies and Japanese. In the original form of Japanese Reiki, it is mainly self-healing.
Yes,
and
I see.
Meditations, really.
Yeah. Yes, I know there was many variations in the technique and so on, but it's similar to the normal healing system, which I'm familiar with and I've spoken about on my show, where it involves sitting quietly and the breathing is important and this sort of thing.
Yeah, we do teach. Well, it's not really used much in the Western side. In the Japanese, someone which I also teach, and a lot of my patients, I do give them some breathing exercises to do, because one of the ways is to absorb energy is actually through breathing. That's what's one of the main sources of energy. So there's a form of breathing meditation, which basically what we call it, it's an alpha breathing meditation, because it interferes with your brain waves. So you tend to go in a very deep relaxation state, mm-hmm. which they call it the alpha state. And that is a state of healing, because your body tends that way to boost your immune system. And it helps you relax and focus on more on your issues of your life.
Yeah. Yes, and it's the slow breathing that helps with the relaxation, similar to the sort of meditation systems. They relax and start off by concentrating on breathing. And then I believe one of the parts of the technique is the practitioner to have some special hand movements, holding hands together and concentrating on the way.
Yeah, there's several ways of doing it. I mean, there is a technique of holding hands together, but mostly when you're treating somebody, a lot of people in the Reiki world tend to have a set of hand positions. But when you go back to the original form of Reiki, it's more based on your intuition. I mean, it's obviously the practitioner has to go into a meditation state initially. And then obviously there's not really much contact with the body in this particular kind of form of treating the patient. Your hands probably hover about 5 or 6 inches from the body, and it goes to search for imbalances of energy. Now, in the Western side, it's more straightforward. You start with 12 hand positions, so you start from the crown down to the forehead, down to the throat, to the chest, and it is fairly straightforward.
Mm. Yeah, that's possibly more the sort of Indian tradition, the chakra.
I think it is, because if we look at the complementary therapies, let's say for instance China, they base very much the Chinese traditional medicine is based on meridians, acupuncture, and acupressure points. When you move to India, they don't have meridians, but they have the chakras.
Mm.
But now when you go and do a Reiki course, depending on what course you're doing Reiki, a lot of emphasis is put on the chakras, but that wasn't really the issue in Japan in those days, because they knew nothing about chakras.
No.
For them, it was based on qi, which was Chinese, because obviously this is an old Buddhist background.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously moved into Japan.
Yeah. And you said intuition. Now, this is an important part of it.
Well, intuition, basically, that is built up with a bit of experience. It's when you get to be a little bit more comfortable when doing your energy exercises, because there are some energy exercises that you need to be able to ground yourself and be able to feel the energy around you. Obviously, when you start working over a patient with intuition, all you're doing is really is feeling the areas in the body where you feel there's lack of energy. I mean, in this particular case, now we're going back to the chakras again, because obviously we've learned this now from India. So with intuition, you actually can feel the state of the chakra, and you can actually then identify if the chakra is actually in need of energy, or it needs to be drained from energy. Yeah, and you actually feel then, with your intuition, you can actually feel the sensations of the state of the chakras in that moment.
Another thing I saw was that some people feel or see an aura. Is this something you...
Yeah, something which I usually do teach to the patient to see it, because by seeing your aura, which is your energy field, they tend to become more aware of what energy is all about, because that's where it really starts. I mean, this is a very simple process, and it can actually be learned in 5 minutes. It's not that complicated. And with a bit of training, you can actually get to the state and walk around in a shopping mall and be able to see it around people. And you can actually tell the state of the person's, I wouldn't say the state of his health, but more the state of his emotional status, according to the color of the aura or the size of the aura, or et cetera.
I've never really studied auras. It always seemed a little bit of a black art as far as I was concerned. But I know that a lot of people do put great score in seeing auras and this sort of thing. If one is able to read auras, then one can see a little bit more about the patient, which you wouldn't otherwise know. And then you can see the state of their mind and what, you know, whether they're calm or not. And this, I suppose, is important.
I suppose this is probably something which you build up with experience, but I mean, in initial stages, it can be taught fairly quickly. Obviously, I don't think anybody will be able to recognize if it's a healthy aura or not, obviously, in the beginning, because it does take some time, obviously, to acquire, because you go on into Reiki meditation and as you practice it and going on with it, you tend to develop this high sense of perception, which is something which 5 years ago I didn't know what it meant. And it is amazing how you actually do receive so much information from the aura.
Yeah.
Yes, Guido. There's no doubt that healers do seem to see auras and in some amazing way see a person's emotional state. In this section of my show, I'm going to mention many different types of healing and point out their fundamental likenesses and differences. First, there is the classical laying on of hands method, where the hands may or may not actually touch, but there is scientific evidence that the brainwave EEG pattern of the healer is transferred to or copied by the patient. This classical method is often known as spiritual healing, having a religious background, but it doesn't have to be religious and still seems to work. Empathy and emotion are important factors in any sort of healing, whatever the differences may be. In Reiki, the patient lies on a couch and more importance is given to discussing and training, although basically the method and results are very similar to the classical method, where both induce deep relaxation which boosts the immune system, curing many psychosomatic, physical and emotional problems. Then there is the associated treatment based on Chinese acupuncture points called acupressure. With this, the therapist presses and rubs along the meridians, which stimulates the nervous system of the patient in particular areas, curing a range of physical symptoms, some of which are tight muscles, backache, asthma, migraines, or digestive problems. When used in conjunction with Reiki, this works well, there being many variations, having different names, or tapping the acupressure meridians instead of rubbing. But this is only the start of all the different healing systems, each having a somewhat different approach, but all relying initially on relaxation and trance. Hands of light. This seems to be about auras and energy fields. Spirit release is about removing spirit attachments. Chakra balancing uses hands or pendulum or assessment by using different fingers. trance body healing. This talks of switching between left and right ear inputs and altered states of consciousness. Then there's past life therapy, using regression to understand why the patient may have a particular phobia or mental attitude, and energy field healing, which works on auras by a passing of hands. All these different healing types seem to rely on and talk about rather mysterious unknown factors that on the one hand might be unscientific nonsense, but the fact is they work. The list includes various forms of energies, vibrations, fields, frequency, spirit, electric, bioplasmic, magnetic, or just healing energy. All the healers are searching for a fundamental explanation as to what it is that does the healing, and it seems that they have all failed. So what is the answer? It's not any of that list of energies. Clearly, relaxation and trance of both healer and patient are very important to bring about that special mental state which brings the two minds into unison. And that's what it's about, mind to mind or telepathy. Nothing to do with energies or spirits. It's that essential human attribute, mind to mind, which is normally kept away and which we can only access with difficulty when in trance as part of a method of healing. So now we'll go back to Reiki and Guido's healing work.
Now, as far as the healing is concerned, it can be a whole body or just a localized healing if there is a known physical problem with the patient.
Well, it all obviously depends on the condition of the patient. I mean, most cases of people that go for energy therapy treatment, which is Reiki or pranic healing or whatever, it's usually because they have some serious emotional issues, which then eventually cause physical issues, because we all know that stress or anxiety or whatsoever eventually can cause some physical problems later on in life. So with these energy therapies, it does tend to release a lot of these. I call them negative energy emotions. I mean, I always picture them like little black clouds that we produce from our minds, because in matter of fact, they don't really exist. This is our mind that produces them. Mm. And then obviously they cause massive disruptions in our lives, because, I mean, if you take students, for instance, who are stressed, they have a lot of difficulties in concentrating, on focusing on what they're doing, and that's because emotions obviously cause this barrier. So these are the first elements that need to be eliminated. So it is a process. I mean, you can't, if somebody comes to you and says, I've got a backache, it's very difficult to go and actually target the back if you don't actually go to the cause why he's got the backache.
Mm.
So we start from the emotional levels and we come slowly down, targeting step by step. And within 3 to 4 sessions, usually it seems to do the job. I mean, it does sound amazing, like talking about it like that, but it's...
And talking about the success you have, you, generally speaking, find the problem can give some assistance, do you think?
I would say 90% cases, yes. I mean, one of the biggest issues that you find in complementary therapy is that a lot of people will phone up asking for a particular treatment. But, I mean, it's not like going to a supermarket saying, I want a particular product. Obviously, the person has to be examined. They have to be, I would say, interviewed in a certain way to understand actually what is the reason why the person is having this problem. And if it's not a medical problem, it's an emotional problem. Because you must understand that these therapies complement other therapies.
Mm.
And I'm talking by experience, because I went through all this initially 5 years ago. And
on a personal basis.
On a personal basis. I mean, I think a lot of people, that when they go in these particular therapies, it's because obviously they've gone through this. And it did really help me a lot to get through everything. And it was amazing. I used to be an accountant before, and I would never imagine to go and do something like this today. somebody told me 10 years ago.
And it's a sort of full-time profession, is it, as far as you're concerned?
No, it's a three-day-a-week in a clinic. I work in a clinic in Cambridge. It's a three-day-a-week.
Ah, yes, I remember now. That's right.
Yes, and then I do some people in their houses, and it is fairly busy, I must say. It is fairly busy.
So it sort of boils down to the intuition and sensing the aura and feeling in some way, which is very difficult to put your finger on, but it is a paranormal experience. My program.
It is a paranormal. Well, one of the things that I noticed, that which everybody seems to be exposed to, is the fact that during a treatment they go into I wouldn't say into a deep sleep, but into a very deep form of relaxation. So I do try to justify this, obviously, because we work by the old traditions, but today in a modern society we try to explain this, how it actually does work. And I do tend to meditate and get to the alpha state. The body does seem to respond and self-heal itself, because we do have a self-healing built-in system in our bodies.
Yeah, I mean, the word that I like to use is trance, which is...
It is trance. I mean, I don't like using that word there, because when you say it to people, trance, they get scared.
Yes, I know.
And to you, and he works in a bank, and he's a bank manager, and he's lying on that couch, and I said to you, well, now you're going to go into trance.
Yes.
They go into this form of panic state because they get very worried.
Yes.
So I just say to him, look, you're going to feel very, very, like, very tired when you get out, a little bit dizzy, a little bit spaced out. But that's all part that your body now is starting to self-heal itself.
One of the things that I learned when I was doing a little bit of healing work was that it was important to wake the patient up gradually after the treatment.
Yeah, I do. At the end of the treatment, I do leave them down for 5 minutes. I mean, I wake them. I ask them just to stay. I'll bring them a glass of water or something and let them come around, because it is a bit of a shock for them when they get up, because they really feel tired. But the tiredness is not caused by a physical tiredness. It's because when you release your body from all the adrenaline chemicals which are in circulation all the time, your body relaxes. But it really relaxes. So we probably think, well, you know, I'm really tired now, but you're not. It's just that you suddenly have let go of some of these stress emotions that you've been holding on to. And most of my patients break out into hysterical crying, and because the emotions all come into the surface.
Yes, yes, of course. And that sort of proves the point, that the emotion coming out, that it's having some effect psychologically, which is generally what you're after, in fact.
And the funny thing is that the emotions always come to the surface. They always come out of your they come out of your head.
Yes, well, it must be rather nice for you, I think, personally, to spend time at a clinic and have people referred to you, which is obviously what does happen. You have a patient, as you say, you might treat for several sessions and get to know their problems and get to find a way of helping them. That's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, especially when you know that they've been through other forms of medical treatment which have not been successful. And I mean, a lot of conventional medicine today is antidepressants or painkillers, but they don't seem to target the problem. People are just, I would say, kept into balance through chemicals issued out by our pharmacists, but they don't seem to tackle the problem. And they actually do feel amused when they actually walk away. And a lot of them say, well, I'm going to stop taking tablets. And no, you don't stop taking tablets. You carry on taking your medication, even though you're feeling better.
Well, yes, it's all very interesting. I've had on my show a good many healers of one sort or another, and the Reiki approach I felt was very different, and you have confirmed that for me today, and I'm quite very interested in it. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's been very nice talking to you today.
Okay.
I find this show very interesting, talking to all sorts of people who have...
Okay.
Influenced one way or another by something paranormal, something which is not obviously understood. But
okay, yes.
And people, for people like yourself, it is in fact normal because it's your job, you know, and you...
I call it more a mission. I always say to my wife that if the time when I was sick, if I had somebody who could do what I do for others, I would have been a very happy person at that time.
Yes, I understand. A mission is a nice term to use. Yep. Good. Yes, well, thank you again. Okay, thank you, and we'll say goodbye.
Okay, then. All the best, thanks.
And that was Guido Tozaki, who works in Cambridge, not very far from me. His website is www.spiritual-energy-healing.co.uk, which has a lot of information about his methods and so on. And now I'd like to say a little more about how healing works. We're all familiar with hypnosis, where a hypnotist is able to put suggestions deep into the subconscious to cure phobias, addictions, pain, and emotional issues. And we can even use self-hypnosis, aided by relaxing music and recorded hypnotic suggestions. That's fine, and generally it works. And it works because the message is put into the subconscious mind. When it comes to healing, it's very similar. The message has to get into the subconscious, but it's generally not by verbal suggestions, as in hypnosis, it's something much more subtle. As I said earlier, it has to be mind to mind, which is something that is never mentioned as part of healing. And that's because people don't understand it. But there is now a growing belief in telepathy by people, so please try and see it as part of healing. Now, the interesting thing is that the minds of healer and healee come into unison, as is shown by their similar EEG brainwave patterns, which is the correct state of mind for the transfer of the healing suggestions into the unconscious by mind to mind, rather than the verbal suggestions of the hypnotist. I know it's a radical new way of looking at healing, but it does give us an answer as to how it works. But that's only one half of the story. When two minds are working in unison, the ESP goes the other way as well. The healer can generally sense physical or mental blockages and sees this as an aura or details of energy flows or chakras. These are all ways the healer sees details of his patient's condition. This two-way report certainly does work sometimes, as we learn from the many different methods of healing. And now there's another thing. Many healers do remote healing, which is clearly much less likely to work because of the difficulty in establishing the mind-to-mind condition. But I suppose occasionally it can work. Anyway, all this sheds new light on the mysterious business of healing. Many thanks to Guido for telling us about Reiki. Listen again next time to me, Richard Alabone, on webtalkradio.net, explaining why the paranormal is normal. Bye for now.